Okay, good morning, brethren. Greetings on this cold day. A little bit of an icy day. We had some ice up in Edmond, America, and Brother Jeremy said it was cold out west. It was cold. So I'm just thankful that the good. Excuse me. that the good Lord, he just provides. He's wonderful. I didn't write the date in here. Oh, the world calls it a different day. It's interesting coming in on Blake Hefner, no, it wasn't, Broadway Extension. Something about, brethren, I didn't notice any difference between 1 second and the next last night, because I was up in the wee hours, and I didn't see any difference. I just don't, and that's something. I remember before I was even born again, before I converted, I remember back in college days or whatever, to be caught up in this fervor of a new year. They call it New Year. But if I recall, the scripture somewhere saith that this month shall be the beginning of months. So the Almighty, the Creator, has set forth months. And he told us that at some point there's the beginning of months. But why January 1 has to be set apart, and you're supposed to have this different feeling about you or something. And I thought, you know, and I kind of thought in my early days or whatever, thought I really don't feel any different. And that's even true for your birthday. I just don't. Okay. But to be thankful to the good Lord, he gives us the ability. You imagine, can you think about when you're asleep and then you wake up in the morning? You woke up. You're breathing. It's just so interesting. And that he doesn't fail. He's wonderful. So there's a lot of bitterness going on and things that can challenge us as we continue to. I've had this thought recently about when we speak of the Heavenly Father and we speak of His Son, Jesus Christ, and we talk up. Do we talk up our Creator? Do we talk Him up? Trying to show forth our faith, our belief. Let's try this. Okay. Bring it on. We'll tone it down here a little bit on the lighting. There's fightings and wars, and we can have fears. And I thought Brother Vernon, the prayer, I thought I think he's giving some of my sermon away. No, he's feeding into it. He's helping build it up. It brought some tears to the eyes. The feud, brethren. I'm concerned about the feud. The feud. F-E-U-D. The feud. So a feud, by definition, I looked this up last night, a bitter, prolonged quarrel, a state of enmity. The feud, you can look these definitions up and the context, these ideas. There's hostilities, and I put betwixt. Hostilities betwixt clans. And so one of the popular things on here Google says, what's the most famous, feud? Something about the Hatfield and McCoys. I don't know what it is, but I didn't look into that, but I thought, I think I've heard of that before. I don't know who they were or whatever, but anyway, the Hatfields, anyway, so that's one. But feuds. A state of enmity. I looked up that definition. That is active opposition. Active opposition. There are so many feuds and enmities at all levels in this world between people's belief in one thing or another, who they're, even your favorite color, I guess. No, that is not the best color. It just at all levels. I have to be right there. I have to stop myself, my own self. I have to think, hey, I'm going to complain between the difference between yellow and pink or purple, lavender. Is that right, brethren? How about this? That we have eyeballs that we can see these things. And we're not blind. How about that? Enmity, active opposition. I put this in last night. I had to write this down. Brethren, it's hate that's palpable. It's well known and you can feel it. People will stand their ground. People are standing their grounds to their death. One way or the other, seemingly. The feud. Talk recently at the house when family come over and people gather around for certain holidays that are after a false religion, false practices, especially in this country. And they may be talking, it's interesting, your ears perk up because they start talking a little bit of religion. What's the religion? Oh, we got a new preacher. Yeah, the one we had before. That's interesting. People in churches concerned, they might say that they got a new preacher and like some things, but I disagree on other. So people are, they have their likes and their dislikes. And this caught my attention, brethren. I had to write this down. What's the point? Why? Because the man said, he started doubt preaching, but by the end of it, we didn't know what he was talking about. Lost his way. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, so people are paying attention. They're wanting a point in the sermon, I guess. And I'm thinking, Pastor Ed mentioned one time, do we limit God? So if you're led by the Holy Spirit and the Almighty wants you to say something, impresses upon you, I don't, is it so rigid? I do have a lot of things that are on these pieces of paper here. I'm not one to follow, I guess, a cookie cutter script. We are living human beings, brethren. We have hearts. We have hearts. So, emotionally, lovingly, we should come across, and it should be the Lord's wonderful ways. He's got a message trying to reach people, and we share in that. So this is where it says, flip this list over first. So I'm going to flip this list over first. So this, it's interesting. I've got a hinge system built in right here. Some scotch tape. So right here, because this list right here that's superimposed, and I want to make sure that that word was used today. This is superimposed because that's going to be important. So I'm going to lift the hinge up, and here we go. I would like to, in this thing called a feud, between families or against families. Do you know that in feuds and in families, a family, a certain sect may look and they eyeball and they look on the other side and they look at them. And they don't like what they see, or they have problems, they have contentions with it. So when I was driving home the other day in the car, I was having these thoughts about feeding the church of God, and Jesus said that I am the bread of life. And so there's this word I put down here, nourishment. Where was this definition here? Nourishment, okay. So growth, nourishment relates to growth and health. On a positive side, that's a good condition. So I was wondering, does Satan have his ways? And are they contrary to the Heavenly Father's way? Feed. What's being fed? And I have a line here. So the reason that this piece of paper is strategically placed upon this side, this overlay is on this side of the piece of paper, it's because there is a line right in the middle here. And so there's contrary things going on here. So let's see here. But this feud that's happening in the world. In Psalm 56:5, I'd like to, okay, we're going to start with something negative here. Psalms 56:5. I hear the pages turning in the scriptures that you have. That's good. Pastor Walker mentioned he believes that the people bring their Bibles, that they follow and see if the minister, like he said, reads it right. Psalm 56:5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are evil against me. Every day they rest my words. Regarding this nourishment or the lack thereof, and this feud, I think... Brethren, what we may see here is a difference between love and hate. Love and hate. On Satan's side, those congregations, that faith, that way of life, the lost condition, brethren, nourishment. Is there lack of nourishment? Does his ways lead to starving? Is it choking? Is it lacking? Because on the good side, there's growth, there's health, there's a good condition. So every day they rest my words. Do you recall that in the New Testament we are admonished to be content with such things as ye have? For he said that he will neither leave us nor forsake us. Be content. The carnal nature always wants more and more and more. Always hungry. So every day they rest my word. So what's the opposite? In Psalm 35:13, is there something different here? Let's see. Psalm 35:13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced. They gathered themselves together. They gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. In verse 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. So is there a difference in attitude? A difference in attitude. And can we do that in our normal, natural condition? Can we do that? Can we have that wisdom and that heart to have that attitude? But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. Or does it take the Heavenly Father's Spirit to be changed, to be different? I humbled myself. In Proverbs 1, Proverbs 1, and verse 31. So, nourishment. Brethren, this is not good nourishment. If we notice here in 131, Proverbs 131, therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Why is that therefore there? Why is there a therefore? In verse 29, well, verse 28, he's called, but none will answer. In 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. So we're given a choice. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. In Jeremiah 18:12, I believe it says something similar. Be filled with their own devices. Yes, in Jeremiah 18:12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. And we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. So, there's deception, brethren. And to walk after our own devices. The false ways in life, they're not wholesome. And at the tail end of this, brethren, and it's interesting because that's what I have written down at the bottom of this page. The tail end, brethren, just people are going to find out this was not the right way to live. And this is not hope. Do you recall that in the New Testament, people are going to be scoffing and not believing, and they're going to say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, can things continue with this the way they were? Brethren, when the Lion of the tribe of Judah shows up, he's going to show up. The Lion, behold, that's somewhere here also. Okay, so let's go back. Okay, we've seen some more bad here. How about this? Psalm 51. So, and we've seen that there's a choice. Psalms 51. Choose. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 51. Psalms 51. Psalms 51 and I believe it's verse 10 here. Yes, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Isn't that wonderful? C- create in me a clean heart. Brethren, that is good, wonderful. That's healthy. That's a good condition. That's good nourishment. That's the wonderful Heavenly Father's nourishment. Do we agree? Amen? Yes? Create in me and renew a right spirit. I wrote down, head right down here, not a wrong spirit. Okay? All right. Let's do one more set of comparisons here. Okay, so let's go to James. James 5. Oh, brethren, I think this one particular verse, I didn't notice it until last night, but James 5 talking about rich people. We be very concerned. I have to be very concerned. Riches. Can riches overtake us? Oh, they can. Somewhere it says they have more than heart could wish. James 5 and verse 5. Is that it? James 5, 5? Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have nourished your hearts. I had to stress the your hearts. The riches of the world and the dainties, the goodies. The Creator has. It's amazing that he's allowed man. He's given man smarts and ingenuity to make things. Isn't that amazing? We are here today sitting on wooden pews made out of wood and noticing illumination, electricity that is coming into a building and lights and twirling things. And electronics and things, the message that can go from little old Oklahoma City all the way down to the island of Guam. Amazing. Amazing. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And I don't believe this is a lie. I believe this is truth. Psalm 73, verse 1. Because it says, truly, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a, notice, clean heart. A clean heart. There is discussion that it seems that these holiday things bring out people. They're searching, they're seeking. You can hear the, and you can feel the longing that people have. People want to be in a religion, they want to be religious, they want to be Bible believing or Bible using or Bible dividing. Some people have a great dislike for church. Now, brethren, I've had to ask this question. Is that God's fault? Or is that man's fault? Has man done this? Someone asked me, what Sabbath keeping are you in? Because that person was apparently been in a Sabbath way for 20 years. What happened? Are we seeing this? Are we seeing Did this happen? This feud? Does this happen? Does this what happens? A feud. So, nourishment. I did draw a little picture here, just a little reminder of a little parcel of ground and then these little sprigs. I don't hear that word often very much. My grandmother would say sprigs, coming from the farm. It's interesting. Today, people can go to the grocery store and buy things. Not knowing where does this stuff come from. Well, some of it may come from a lab, but the farm, brethren, the farm, these little sprigs here. Some are black, but some are green. A few are green. The wheat and the tares, the weeds. And the Lord said, "Let them alone. Let them grow together." So nourishment. Brother Paul in 1 Timothy, Brother Paul, 1 Timothy 4, Brother Paul wrote to Brother Timothy something about nourishment. 1 Timothy 4, 6. 1 Timothy 4, 6. Actually, I think I remember reading that one the previous Sabbath or the Sabbath before. If a minister... Actually, anyone puts the brethren in remembrance of these things, be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up. I didn't even realize that until just now, brethren. Out of this passage, that is the first on here. That's the first one that I've highlighted in this kind of a golden yellow color. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Nourished up in what? I had to write that down last night. Nourished up in what, brethren? In the words of faith and of good doctrine. Nourished up in the words. So we're nourished up in words. But what kind of words? Good ones. Well, of faith. Brethren, when we have that assurance and that belief, the faith, that's a belief, conviction that the Almighty, He's wonderful and He doesn't change. He's consistent, He's given promises, nourished up. And so do we believe that we can stay nourished up? If the words don't change, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we don't find any unrighteousness in Him. And did Job have that? Did he have that faith? Did he say that he was that hit the latter day that he shall stand? Job went through a lot. Wow, he went through a lot. Okay. Nourished up. Let's see about this. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Again, to keep the continuity of the setting here. For those that are kind of like paying attention, saying, "Hey, what's the message here?" and the feud, the difference between Satan's ways and the Heavenly Father's ways. How does this overflow, brethren? If we go to, where is this? Psalms 135, referencing a lot of Psalms. Psalms 135. Where is that? Psalms 135 and verse 3. How does this overflow? you're there before I am, that's all right. Just stay there. Psalms 135. I may have to start using markers like Pastor Ed does. Well, Psalms 135:3. And I don't like really using electronics on this stuff. Some people do. But I just appreciate having two pages open because there's just, your eyes may glance over and see something else. Like in Psalms 131, neither do I exercise myself in great matters and things too high for me. So I have a limit. Okay, Psalms 135 and verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto, brethren, notice this. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Sing praises unto his name. There's something about his name. Is his name authoritative? Did we just study that this morning? In the Sabbath school, of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name. The name, brethren, the name means something. Is the name a mark? Is the name a heritage? Is the name a kingdom? The name, for it is pleasant. For it is pleasant. I did write this down last night because, I left these blanks on this piece of paper here. Sing praises unto his blank name, and for it is pleasant. There's a lesson study that we've followed, Steps to Truth as it's called now, and it has blanks on the questions. If you haven't taken the test, or this we don't really call it a test, brethren, the scriptures will test you. I would encourage it, though. Pleasant. Pleasant can mean sweet, delightful, lovely. And here's the strongest word I got out of that. Now, these are good words, but this one, agreeable. Agreeable. How about this? Well, the Almighty, he said things. He's provided a plan through his Son. Do we, and he's given commandments, do we agree with his ways? Agreeable. Let's not be, brethren, let us not be of a situation in the Old Testament where he said he has a controversy. So that's not agreeable. If he has a controversy, that's not good. We're not in a good state if he has controversy against us. Seemingly, we got a taste of that in Revelation, where Jesus said, I have somewhat against thee. And to say that thou hast left thy first love, that's not good. There's a song, I'm depending on Jesus, he's depending on me. That's good. So this overflowing. So as you can tell, I'm not focusing here a whole lot on the old choking, starving way. So the feud. The feud, and that's so. I'm not going to get to it yet, but there's this overlay. So let's. The feud. Was Paul sent amidst a feud? Was Paul sent? If we go to Acts, in particular Acts 26, and I believe is this the tail end? Yeah, it's nearing the end of. I guess Paul's journeys here is, and I, I think about this opportunity, what Paul went through. Here, there, and yonder, he was taken from place to place. And it just seems like, brethren, we read through the Acts. Or listen, I do listen. Follow the narrative. For Paul to be before, in 26:18, Acts 26, for Paul to be in front of King Agrippa and to say these words, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, a personal message, Paul telling the king in front of all these people, whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Miracle. Paul describing a miracle in his life. So I have to ask the question, brethren, what if you're brought before Biden? What if you're brought before a pope? Someone. And you show forth your faith. How about this? The most famous atheist. And you firmly believe and you tell them, Jesus is coming. Jesus is real. Paul said to Agrippa in front of all these people, the power of Satan. Is Satan powerful then? Paul told this. So is this another miracle? Because are these Paul's words? Are these Spirit-led words? Is this Jesus' witness? Is this the Almighty's witness in front of all of these people? Almost, Agrippa said, you persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost something. Didn't Paul say, I wish you would. And then everyone else here that he said that hears me. Did he say that? Did he say that? I'm sorry? 29? Oh, and I can't help but say Paul, or in 24, Festus with a loud voice. And that is, I just think that's a wonderful invitation. The fervor in the room. Festus elevating his voice. So Paul able to even lift his voice high in response. Isn't that, I just think that's the right way. But 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, you, king, isn't that something, king, not only that you would be a Christian. But also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these by, except being in this containment, in this chains and tethers or whatever he had. Almost. What a witness. What a witness. So, and this example, and the feud. Just amazing thing. Paul, we see his journeys, the feud. And it's a spiritual feud, brethren. It's a spiritual feud. And they wanted him dead. Isn't that something? They wanted him dead. And I love it. I love it, I love it. When the young man came to the guard or the captain, and this whole, the army, the spearmen and the camels or horses or mules or whatever that were taken, and to take Paul, and I have to think about taking that gospel, protecting that gospel so that it goes from here to here. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. So, before I get to the overlay, there's something very, very strong in Matthew 16. Something so strong here. In Matthew 16. Okay. Sometimes I mention a verse and then I start flipping the pages of the scriptures and I don't even realize where I'm going. So I was in James. But Matthew 16. And I was actually going for verse 18, but verse 17, Jesus answered and told Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brethren, do the gates of hell, what do they represent? Do they represent nothingness? Do they represent the destruction, the judgment, the finality? Do the gates of hell represent decay, ruin? And at some point, this frivolous life is going to be all for naught. So the Almighty is going to have a glorious kingdom that will be everlasting. Prevail, you look up the word prevail, the gates of hell shall not. The gates of hell, the death, the destruction, then the destruction of Satan and his family, that side of the feud will not prevail. Brethren, the word prevail means it's superior. It means it's going to overcome. The gospel, I wrote this in last night, the gospel does not say Satan wins. No. No way. So the overlay. So to overlay these things on this side of this spiritually nourished house, to overlay, I'll read through some of these. Profitable, things that are good, the right ways, this is the right side of the Lord. After you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That's in 1 Peter 5:10. Be at peace among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Be not soon shaken or be troubled. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Support the weak. Support the weak. That's in Acts 20:35 and 1 Thessalonians 5:14. So I wrote down this side, we don't want to waste precious energy. And I've seen that recently. Strivings and contentions about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. We're told not to. I'm learning that, brethren. So the gates of hell. I've been curious, just how wide are the gates of hell, the abyss? Broad is the way? Narrow? this personality, this feud, two personalities at work here, seemingly. The difference between Satan's ways and the Heavenly Father's ways. In Revelation 3:9, if you look up the word synagogue of Satan, synagogue of Satan, you take the word Satan. And you use your Strong's Concordance, you'll find at least two meanings. The accuser is one. Of the Hebrew origin, the arch enemy. The arch enemy of God. You go do a Google search on arch enemy. A person who is extremely hostile or opposed to something or someone or something. And would you know that on this definition, on dictionary Google here, the second bullet point says the devil. Isn't that amazing? With a capital D. The devil. In Google, when you do searching, so interesting, when you do searching, and right now it's trying to give me results. Stop. There's a list of questions or list of things that people also search for this. Here was one. What's the difference between an arch enemy and an enemy? An enemy is anyone against whom you contend. An arch enemy is your absolute nemesis. Someone with whom you share infinite enmity. Neither of your lives will be happy while the other lives. Whoa. No, I had to write this down. Did I write it down? No wonder, brethren, that Satan and his ways, his children, won't last. Will be put away. Satan can't change. So if the Heavenly Father changes not, Satan can't change. So, the feud will be overcome. In Psalms 107:42, this is a wonderful promise. I appreciate it. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop her mouth. There'll be no more, brethren. Behold, he cometh with clouds. That's in Revelation. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And my last thought was, on this piece of paper, it's a song. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. So, brethren, we thank the good Lord for what he's done and give him the glory and thanks. May his will be done, brethren. May God bless you. Thank you.